Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Another new statement here. I was talking about the IDOT bullpen earlier where we were shrieking and reacting to the news that the Bears have put in a bid to buy Arlington Park. We're taking your calls at 332-3776. Remember, IDOT reminds you that driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. Here is the statement from the mayor of Arlington Heights. The village of Arlington Heights was made aware earlier today that the Chicago Bears have submitted a bid for the purchase of the Arlington International Racecourse property site as a potential home for a new stadium for the team. Tom Hayes, mayor of Arlington Heights, said the following to add, quote, "We welcome the Chicago Bears' interest in the Arlington Park site. It's a one-of-a-kind location, and we are glad the Bears' ownership sees its tremendous potential. The village will be working with the listing broker to closely review proposals by all potential users in the coming months. Whether the final purchaser is the Chicago Bears or someone else, our goal is to determine which concept will be most beneficial to Arlington Heights from a long-term economic and community development perspective." So that is from the city of Arlington Heights. Major news today on a very busy week for the Bears, where they have mandatory mini camps going on. Justin Fields spoke today. And Dan Weider and I have been arguing all week. He joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hi, Dan.
Shelby, this is why we saved the large font. It's for headlines like this. Bears submit proposal to buy Arlington Park Racecourse. That's the big font headlines. The stuff earlier in the week, that was medium-sized font. And so this is a good example on the air, live breaking news to sort of compare what qualifies as landmark news and what's just kind of like, that's news.
You use your font the way you want to use your font. I'm going to send you clips from this show, like you've sent me clips from your appearances on other shows, of Waddle and me forecasting this for the last several months. Brian Hanley's been on this radio station talking about this for a long time. As you said to me, Dan, we've been forecasting this for a long, long time.
It's good to have forecasters in this town, and I'm glad we've got a lot of these things forecasted in advance, and now it's time to follow the development of each of these two things. Will Justin Fields ever play a home game in Arlington Heights?
I hope so, because that means it's a long, fruitful career, because these things take a long time. And, yes. And before we get to the press conference today and what you've seen from minicamp, what is your reaction here, and how realistic do you believe this could be?
Man, you know, my reaction is that there are a lot of reasons this type of move would make sense, right? And I know the purists and the traditionalists hate the idea of the Bears moving away from the lakefront. And then the people that understand the business of the NFL and the business of sports and the business of sports entertainment and the opportunities to potentially own a stadium where you can host Final Fours and Super Bowls and concerts and other events that allows you to then also develop the property, right, and put in residences and restaurants and an entertainment district, all these things that have happened in various parts around the league, you understand why the temptation to at least explore the possibility is there. Who knows where it heads from here? Who knows how much of this is, you know, negotiating? Who knows how much of this is leverage, trying to figure out what you ultimately want to get for the future of your organization? Probably only Ted Phillips knows that at this point, but it's certainly very intriguing, and it's noteworthy, and it's something that we're all going to keep our eyes closely on for a while now.
Do you believe, because I've speculated this too, the Bears have a lease through 2033, and the city obviously wants to keep them. Do you believe the Bears feel like, A, this is a great opportunity for them, but B, it also could put the pressure on the city to get more of what they want out of Soldier if possible?
Of course. Right. Of course, that's part of it. So I guess that circles back to the bigger question on what is the Bears' long term vision for what they want out of their stadium and how they want it to be situated. And now it's up to them to kind of use their strength and their leverage and their power to try to get the most out of what they want. And it's going to be fascinating to watch all of this evolve for sure.
And I know it's a developing story, but just in your experience covering the league, how much more beneficial would it be to the Bears themselves to own their own stadium instead of leasing it?
Oh, I mean, it's tremendously valuable. And again, if you can control then how you put the stadium together, you can put a roof on it and be able to host those other events. And you can also, again, don't forget how big that property is. And it's not just a stadium. You go to Gillette Stadium in New England and you see the development of that entire complex there with restaurants and entertainment and bars and other things and hotels and residences. You understand how much you can squeeze out of something like that, right? When you have a destination and an attraction like that, we'll just have to see where it goes. But certainly there are things here that are intriguing on many levels. And these stories, Sylvia, they have so many layers to them. I was in Minnesota when they were going through the negotiations of their new stadium there. And there are so many financial discussions that need to be had on who pays for it and how much do taxpayers care to take on, et cetera, et cetera. So there are going to be a lot of layers to this one way or the other going forward.
Yeah, it takes a long time, too, doesn't it?
Yes, a very long time, right? And there's a lot that goes into it, a lot of politics, a lot of negotiating, a lot of back and forth.
All right, let's talk about this current team. Justin Fields met the media. I'm going to play some audio after we're done talking to you. Did anything stand out to what he told reporters today?
Well, I just think that he is sort of in tune with the baby steps approach to where they're at with him in his development. I mean, he was very forthright today in saying, look, I'm still learning how to call a play in a huddle. We were primarily no huddle at Ohio State. There are mechanics that go into getting inside the huddle and not only calling a play, but calling it properly, calling it with basically the tone and the emphasis on certain words that allow the guys in the huddle to know exactly what you're running. And you know, you'll talk to people around the league, you get one word wrong in calling a play in that huddle, the whole play blows up, right? And so these are the basic boxes at the top of the checklist that Justin Fields is working through right now. He's aware of that. He understands there's a lot of steps to go. But as excited as Bears fans are to see him become the starting quarterback sooner rather than later, Justin Fields is equally driven to accelerate that timeline as fast as he possibly can.
There was one answer where he was addressing whether or not there's less pressure on him now as the number two. And I liked the direction that he took it because it came out unprompted. He was citing an interception made today that he threw today. And Matt Nagy talked to him because it was a new play.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
said, it will never happen again. And then he offered, he goes, look, when I make a mistake, 99.9% of the time, it won't happen again. And I loved the confidence there.
There's a comfort, Sylvie, and there's been a comfort since day one with him about of just feeling very calm, feeling very relaxed, understanding that mistakes are going to happen, and understanding that it's what you do with those mistakes, particularly in these early stages of development, that are key. Listen, we went through this with Mitch in 2017, and folks said, look, we're going to go into training camp, he's going to make mistakes, and it's going to be how he bounces back from them. Where I kind of got flipped over on Trubisky was when we were in training camp 2019, and the same mistakes were happening, and people were saying, well, they're still pushing him to make mistakes so he can learn from mistakes. No, I'm sorry, you're in year three. You should be past that. So for Fields to say today, listen, I'm going to make sure that if I make a high-profile mistake or one that's pretty glaring to my coaching staff and myself, I'm going to make sure that I take every step and effort to make sure it doesn't happen again. The interception he was referring to today in the end zone, a pass to Jimmy Graham, it was really into congested traffic. Christian Jones ended up picking it off, and it was one of those moments where you go, ew, God, that's a rookie not understanding the value of ball security, not understanding what he can get away with down there, and it's going to happen, right? Those are the mistakes that are going to happen until you learn that you can't make that throw. It's good for him to get it out of the way in a mini camp red zone practice in June, and then we'll see if he's true to his word and doesn't make the same mistake again.
Has he had a good mini camp besides what you were just talking about?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's 3 days, right? And so it's a very, very small snapshot, and you know, you're working on timing. You're trying to figure out, okay, with this specific receiver, how does he run this route? Where do I put the ball? There's a lot of things that go into it. It hasn't been notable one way or the other. There have been moments where you're like, oh, my God, this is a disaster. There haven't been moments where you're like, okay, he's ready to start tomorrow. It's just it was a good week, and I think him and Tevin Jenkins today talked pretty openly and glowingly about the ability this year compared with the rookies of 2020 to have this period, right, in June to get on the practice field and start to feel like you're getting your legs under you, like you're getting the orientation that you need to. And so then when you show up to training camp, you're kind of picking up where you left off rather than starting from scratch. And so I think that's a huge sort of underrated thing that we've experienced forever in the NFL, didn't experience in 2020. And now the rookies here in 2021 are saying, thank God for OTAs and minicamp.
Well, we've been arguing all week about the process with the quarterback developing, with Justin Fields and when he should start. And I'm not advocating him starting opening day. I think you know that by now, that I want the forever quarterback. And if that takes all 17 games this year for him to sit and watch because he's not ready, as long as Justin Fields is my forever quarterback, I don't care. So I'm not saying that Justin Fields must start. But I sent you the quote today from a guy that I feel in Kyle Shanahan is one of the best offensive minds in the league regarding Trey Lance, who obviously has less experience than Justin Fields. And here's the quote for those who didn't see it. He says, I definitely see it as Jimmy Garoppolo's the starter, Shanahan said. But if Trey's ready to compete, I have no problem with it. I don't sit there and say, hey, we're not playing a rookie quarterback. We have to rest him the first year. I don't really make any decisions like that until I actually have an opinion on it. And that will take time to see in camp. If he comes in and he's playing at a high level and we think he gives us the best chance to win, we wouldn't hesitate to do that. I think that's all Bears fans, Dan, want to hear from Matt Nagy, want to see from Matt Nagy, is if there's that slight possibility that, hey, Andy Dalton's the starter, but if the kid comes in and blows us all away, we're open to it. Why does Kyle Shanahan go one way, but Matt Nagy doesn't go that way?
I think they're on the same road because you left off the second part of that exchange where Shanahan said it would be really hard for any rookie quarterback to stand out that much. He said, Jimmy's a very good player who has played at a very high level. Trey's really going to have to be on it to come in and seriously push him. So
right.
I think it's two different ways of saying the same thing. I think that Matt is...
Matt Nagy told you there is nothing Justin Fields can do to win the job. Shanahan, in that statement, says,
he told you there's nothing he can do to win the job in week one.
Right.
Shanahan is telling you that it's going to be almost impossible for Trey to win it. Okay.
But the window's open, but at least there's a possibility to compete. Like,
here's where I feel like you're getting hung up and why we're getting caught up in here is because you're sort of clinging to this hypothetical situation where the entire late July, early August into late August is this Justin Fields fireworks show.
Right.
And what they're telling you from inside Hallis Hall is that's possible, but not really likely. So we're not making plans expecting some sort of anomaly where it's a 6 weeks fireworks show through training camp in the preseason. We're planning for what the realistic outcome is going to be, which is that Fields is going to be on a roller coaster. He's going to have some ups. He's going to have some downs. We want to take the pressure off him. We don't want him to have to feel like I have to be ready week one. We want him to be able to go through the developmental curve learning rather than being stuck in the situation of the intensity of having to start week one. I think Kyle Shanahan is saying the exact same thing with Trey Lance. And as I told you earlier in the week, not a single soul in the city of Kansas City is bothered that Patrick Mahomes didn't make his first start until week 17 of his rookie year because they've got an MVP quarterback and a guy who won a Super Bowl before the end of his third
year. And I won't be bothered by that either. I just would like a competition to play out without pigeonholing him or putting a restrictor play. Even if it's a 1% chance, why not just say, look, he's number two. He's got to wow us. But of course, we judge everything on what we see in camp and in the preseason.
But you're attaching this idea that they're going to discount everything that they see in training camp in the preseason, and that's not right. The coaching staff in Chicago is going to stare at Justin Fields' tape every single night. They're going to stare at Andy Dalton's tape every single night. And if they get to a point where they say, boy, Andy is a disaster and Justin's more ready than we thought, then they reserve the right to make changes to whatever declarations they made this week. Nobody sees that as being a realistic possibility inside the building for week one. But I told you earlier, look, going back to 2006, 42 quarterbacks drafted in the first round, right? 16 of them started in week one. That's less than half. 15 more started before week 10. And so I think what the you know, we've talked about this. You got the ants in your pants. The city of Chicago has ants in their pants. What people have to realize is you're going to see Justin Fields this year. You're going to see Justin Fields soon. So just take a deep breath. It's coming. His time is coming. It may be October 5th. It may be October 19th. It may be sometime in early November. It's coming. Justin Fields' time is coming fast. And when it comes, you guys are going to be very excited.
Right.
And if he is the quarterback, by the time they open that stadium in Arlington Heights, everyone is going to be euphoric.
Yeah, you know me. I'm on par with most of what you said. I just wanted the competition. And another thing I didn't like to hear was yesterday Matt Nagy saying that if Andy Dalton gets hurt, Justin Fields is the starter. Like, Dan, to me, this is all about...
Who would you want to start?
Well, this is about what you just said about Justin Fields' development. I don't want Justin Fields to start if he's not ready, even if Andy Dalton is hurt. Like, I want him to be the forever quarterback. If he's not ready, he doesn't start. If he is ready, does start. It's that simple.
You're telling me that if Andy Dalton on Labor Day goes out and tears his ACL, you want Nick Foles starting?
Why rush him then? Like, if he's not ready.
Because your starter just suffered an injury.
I understand, but this isn't about Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's a dude. Andy Dalton is a replacement-level quarterback who's not won a single playoff game in his entire year. This is about getting it right for Justin Fields. And, A, I would like the door open where if he wins the competition and he's ready, he plays. And if he's not ready, even if Nick Foles gets hurt as the third string, I don't want Justin Fields ever to play if he's not ready. It's pretty simple.
Okay, and that's the stance you would take. Matt's taking a different approach, and I think that Matt has confidence in his plan. I think you're right in questioning whether Matt's self-confidence in his plan is justified, given that so many of his other plans haven't worked out, right? And that's okay to shine a light on that and to say, look, they've got to prove it to us that their plans are actually worth believing in
right. Before
we believe in them. I think that's a very key takeaway that most of your audience should subscribe to and buy bandwagon tickets to. But I think you're getting caught up in semantics a little bit with Matt's words rather than their overall vision for the development. And I think their overall vision for the development makes sense, and it's practical, and it really is rooted more in educated guesses of what reality will be rather than what Bears fans and administrators often get caught up in is having this wishful thinking that blinds their judgment and does not allow them to have clarity on an issue. I think they have good clarity on Justin Fields' development, the time it's going to take. And again, you're going to see Justin Fields be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears in 2021. I make that promise to you here on June 17th. If it doesn't come to fruition, I owe you dinner somewhere.
All right. Fine. Good. And I'm going to give you the emoji of a swear finger right now as I text you during the break. Dan, good stuff. Always love the banter. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you tonight, guys.
There you go. Dan Weider is awesome. And I like arguing them. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776. I think the guys understand where I'm coming from. We'll address it and play some Justin Fields next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
While we were talking to Dan, Adrian Wojnarowski reported that Rick Carlisle's walked away from the Mavericks. Keep your eye on that situation with Luka. And, you know, Donnie Nelson left after years, and the guy who drafted Luka, now the coach who won a championship there, has walked away with 2 years left on his deal. So a lot going on. I think my whole thing with Justin Fields is pretty simple. If the dude's ready to play, he plays. If he's not ready to play, he doesn't play no matter what, even if Dalton gets hurt. Like, if he's ready and he shows you he's ready, he plays. Regardless of when it is, where it is, he plays. If he's not ready, regardless of the situation, he doesn't play. You guys get it, right?
Well, I get it, but... Okay, so if this was a different year and your third quarterback was Tyler Bray, or name other third string quarterbacks the Bears have had,
sure.
And not Super
Jonathan
Bowl MVP.
Quinn.
Yeah,
right.
Not Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles
right.
With a bad hip. would you have a different tone? Like, would you say, well, if he's second string, he's second string, then he goes in because I don't want Tyler Bray out there because he's never been more than a third string quarterback.
I don't want to ruin him if he's not ready because you quote because he's number two. That's it. Look, and like we could argue, well, what does it mean if he's not ready? And like someone tweeted me, Sylvie, enough. We get it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm concerned because it's not just Matt Nagy's words. Everything he's done offensively so far has failed. Every plan he's laid out has failed as the Bears coach. He's not run the ball the right way. He continues to offer mea culpas on different things. I'm sorry I did it wrong this way. I'm sorry we didn't let our players play during the preseason. I'm sorry what happened with the kickers. You know, all this time, sorry I didn't run the ball. Did you watch the Colts game? Like, why am I to believe that he's got a handle on it? And Dan's all believing that he likes the plan. Why? I mean, he plays if he's ready. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan says. Look, Trey Lance probably isn't going to be ready. But if he is, okay.
Yeah, I've never understood, like, the last couple of days. Football is all about competition. And I don't understand this guaranteeing players things before you even get on the field. And the whole thing with Andy Dalton is, like, we could probably go down a list, Sylvie, and there's, like, six or eight guys in the entire league that are guaranteed their specific spot on their specific team. Everyone else is fighting for the next day. And like, you could say, yeah, well, there's a star here and here's a starter there. You know, the NFL, the amount of time that someone's in their prime as a starter in that role is very, very finite. And it could always change. And there's always someone looking to take that gig. And I think what is weird to me is the outright telling someone you cannot win the job.
Right.
That, to me, is outrageous.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And I know Weider was joking with Abdallah before he went on the air that, like, we're making a bigger deal about it. But it is news that a first-round quarterback was told in the early summer, you cannot compete and you cannot win the gig. Now, whether or not when we get to the point in training camp or we get to the season, whether or not they change their mind, it's a different story. But I think it's ridiculous that the team is telling the franchise quarterback of the future that, hey, by the way, we moved up to get you. You can work as hard as you can, but you can't beat out Andy Dalton.
Right, right. We're not giving you a chance. Here's Justin Fields. He spoke today. This is the answer I was telling you about regarding making mistakes. And then he was asked, is there less pressure on him knowing now that he's number two and he could just work some things out and some mistakes out?
Well, no matter what place you're in, I feel like as a player, if you're confident in what you can do, and, you know, how fast you learn. Like me personally, I tend to not make, a mistake more than one time. So once I've made that mistake, I learned from that mistake. And I mean, there's a 99.9% that same mistake would not happen again. So, I'm a quick learner. So I have full confidence in myself that, you know, one play I'm going to rub it off and move on to the next play. Because, I mean, I know for myself, at least, that I can make that play easily. So, I just learned from, you know, each and every mistake that I have in practice. And I know, you know, there are going to be mistakes made. So I just take those mistakes and learn from them and not make them again.
I love that he says he's a quick learner. He's not going to make the mistake more than once. Fields talking about how he has learned from Andy Dalton so far. This sounds pretty good.
I mean, yeah, I've learned a lot of things. I couldn't even name off a few things. But, I mean, he's talked to me a lot. I actually went to dinner with him and his wife, so we talked a lot there, and kind of just his background and stuff like that, their story. But I mean, Andy and Nick, they've been awesome to me, probably bigger than you guys even know. I mean, Andy's completely taken me under his wing. Any question that I have for him, he's gonna answer. And then even when I'm throwing, I think there was one day out after OTAs, I was throwing extra after practice, and he stayed out there specifically just to, you know, see maybe what I was doing wrong, and he was just trying to help me out. So, I mean, he's been a huge help for sure.
So there's Justin Fields. Talk about Andy Dalton taking him under his wing, going out to dinner more than you guys know. So that's a really good thing. And from both ways, that Fields is open to learning, and Dalton, even though he knows that that's his replacement, that he's really showing him the ropes. If you want to weigh in on this, 332-3776, the big news of the day, the Bears have put in a bid to purchase the Arlington Park site, where Arlington Racetrack resides, and the possibility of building a new stadium. There's competition for it, though, so we'll see if they end up getting it, but they have taken the next step. We've all wondered officially, would they be interested, and they say yes. They released the statement, and they have put in a bid. We'll get to Waddle's World. We'll also talk some White Sox as they begin a big series against the Astros with Chuck Garfine at 4.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. Look at aerobics in there. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World. Da, 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 da.
Surprise, everybody. It's me, Adam Abdallah, doing Waddle's World.
Waddle is in Tennessee, drunk on Coors Light right now, probably on the golf course, super sunburnt, right?
Oh, yeah. He's red. He's definitely red.
He's red and dehydrated.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a good buzz going.
And that buzz is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's bank. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. We'll start with the Cubs. The Cubs lineup is out. It's important because Chris Bryant is back at third base, batting second. He missed yesterday's game with a sore hand after getting hit on the hand, and now he's back. So good for him.
They need to score some runs, for goodness sake.
Yeah,
I mean,
good luck.
My concern here, it's great news that Chris Bryant's back in the lineup. My concern here is when he has been nicked up in the past, whether it's getting hit, the hand injury, the shoulder, he's had a bad leg, I think a knee, that it always seems to affect him. And I want to make sure with things going so well that this doesn't cause a slump because he's not right. So something to keep your eye on.
It's something that nagged him all of last year. That's why he only had those 7 RBIs. Which of the 7 were your favorite from last season?
It's incredible, isn't it? I know he only played like 30-some games or maybe 40, but 7 RBIs.
My favorite, the 4 that came at the end, right?
Because
then he had a grand slam like the last week of the season, or the last series of the season. So, those are my – and it's RBI, Abdallah.
I think he had
– it's RSBI.
No, it's RBI.
RSBI.
The runs batted in.
Yeah, runs batted in. RSBI.
I'm an RBIs guy.
Oh, come on. Where's Greeny when I need him?
I feel
like Greeny an RBI guy?
I feel like RBI is a word in itself. I know it stands for runs batted in, but it's like a short word. We call them ribbies, RBIs. So we're just putting the apostrophe S on the term RBI. You understand?
RSBI.
No, I understand your logic. It's still, though, runs
of course,
batted in.
Right, of course.
That's the actual
acronym, yes.
Now that you say it, I think Greeny actually disagrees with me. I think I'm Team Hembo, Bubba, Nuno, Devin. I think I'm with those guys, the hashtag guys.
Which is a worse debate, this or is a hot dog a sandwich?
Clearly, a hot dog is a Christmas movie, Sylvie. And, and I think that sells the debate right there.
That's good.
I'll get back to you guys after I hit up the ATM machine. The White Sox have placed Adam Eaton on the 10-day injured list. They have recalled Zach Birdie from AAA Charlotte. He goes on with a strained right hamstring. Now it is official. All 3 projected opening day outfielders for the White Sox are on the IL.
Yeah, but Eaton has not been good, right? Didn't he have like a little burst in the beginning? But Adam Eaton, so far, his return to the South Side has been quite disappointing.
Yoan Moncada's sniffers are gone. He is back in the
his what?
His sniffles. Sniffers?
No, his sniffles.
He said sniffers.
Yeah, no, I meant to say sniffles. Y'all know what I mean. He's batting third.
I don't
third
think we do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, you guys know what I mean, though.
I do know what you mean.
All right. Rick Carlisle has decided to leave the Mavericks, a parting of the ways. He said it was completely his decision to leave, and now the Mavs are without a GM and a coach.
Yeah. Is he going to Boston? I saw Doug Kazarian suggest that with a tweet. That would make sense, right?
That could be interesting. I wonder if Damian Lillard would like to play for Carlisle. Mm-hmm. Portland has an opening. Indiana, the Pacers have an opening.
Yep.
There's a lot of openings in the league. I mean,
he coached in Indiana, didn't he already?
Yes. Yeah,
he coached
yeah,
the
he
Pacers.
Did. And they were really good. That was back when they were a Eastern Conference finalist. I'd say this, you know, Sylvie, this whole situation is so weird. A story comes out about Mark Cuban, the organization, that Cuban and his buddy Bob Valgaris, who is the poker player, who has been on Simmons' podcast, and he's kind of like a Twitter NBA know-it-all type of guy. Cuban comes out and says it's total BS, and then days later,
right.
The GM is out, the head coach is out, Luka's preparing for the Olympics, so he's going to talk now all summer. He's right. Going to have access to the media. He's not happy with the situation. He doesn't want to sign an extension. There's a lot caving in for the Mavs. I wonder if Luka's going to be available at some point.
The way you said it a few weeks ago, Black, this spinoff, you know, the spinoff of disappointing teams, whether it's the Dallas issues or Portland. You know, we were waiting for the Clippers. But who would have thought the Clippers won that game last night? But like Philly's another good team to watch. Like, who could? Does Ben Simmons go on the move? Can you get him at a lower cost?
Well, this is why it's such a fun conversation when we get to this time of year in the NBA, because the pressure of the situation matters. And when these teams get to a certain point, like it's staring the Bucks dead in the face tonight. Game 6 against the Nets, you lose, you go home. Like, you look around, you don't have enough to get it done in the Eastern Conference. So does someone get spun off there? The 76ers last night, that was embarrassing the way they pulled down struts. And then Ben Simmons, you know, like he's not even a useful player in the game last night and in this series. So
can't
you're right. The pressure of the moment creates the situation for teams who are trying to get to the championship. And when they fall short, they make moves then after that to try and get better. And then whether or not the Bulls can benefit of a team that was disappointed in these playoffs is something to keep your eyes on.
You know how the old debate about, hey, was that a great comeback by Atlanta or was that a collapse by Philly? And a lot of times it's a little of both, kind of like how the Bears came back against the Cardinals that year when the Cardinals choked on Monday Night Football. The Illini against Arizona, like the Illini did a lot of great things to win that game. To me, that was 100% Sixers choke. Like, I don't even think Atlanta played that well. Like they took the lead on the head fake on the three from Trae Young, my guy Trae, but I didn't think they played well, and it was clearly Philly not defending and not scoring.
It's one of those things where if one of your best players is a player who's completely unusable at the end of a game from the perimeter, you have to reconsider whether or not he's worthy of being that. And I feel like Ben Simmons and Giannis, to a certain extent, are both those type of players, because what you want is in those final moments, your best player to take the ball in his hands, like we saw Paul George do last night, and to be able to say, I'm going to create something for myself to secure the victory. And like that's where Ben Simmons is eliminated from that conversation.
It's about damn time that Paul George like played like a star, right? I mean, I was so surprised. I didn't stay up for that game. I wasn't interested. I was sort of interested. I was just very tired. And then I went to bed and I went to the ESPN app and I'm like, what?
He controlled the tempo of the game, the entirety of the game. In the first half, I think the Jazz either were up 3 or it was tied at halftime. But the Clippers were playing better basketball. And it was just a fantastic performance on the road without a star, Kawhi being out. And Paul George said, guys, I got it.
He
took over. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and then Donovan Mitchell was another one. LeBron, in the wake of LeBron's tweet yesterday that the NBA didn't listen to him and they got into the season too quickly, Donovan Mitchell says he can't even jump. Like, it's another star playing hurt.
Devin Booker has given the Suns and 4 fan tickets to a conference finals game and a signed Devin Booker jersey in reward for beating the absolute crap out of 2 fans.
I watched the interview. I was texting Big Cat last night, Barstool Big Cat. He hit him on Pardon My Take yesterday. Did you guys see any of the highlights of this? Like, again, like, he lives in Denver, this guy, and this happened in Denver. He's a Suns fan. If you have not seen the video, Google Suns and 4 guy fight, and it will come up. These two guys challenged him, and then they threw the punch. The entire section, he said, all Denver fans were on his side because they know he didn't screw up, that all he was doing was defending himself. And it was such a great interview.
I'm a little surprised that the Suns and like the team is supporting punching the lights out of someone.
Well, the guy challenge him, and all he did was say, hey, you want to be the bully? I'll show the bully how it's done.
Totally agree. 100% agree. But guys, we know the type of day and age that we live in, right?
Yeah.
Like there's got to be someone out there complaining that, oh, you're supporting
someone.
Yeah, right.
Tell the security guy. Like
Suns in four. So bam. Great.
And then it's just, and at the end of it, he kicked two guys' asses. And then at the end, if you're not aware of this, he proclaimed Suns in four. And Big Cat was saying to him, he goes, that's the ultimate exclamation point right there. Like to do that and then to say to them Suns in four, it just makes it even better.
And finally, the new cover of Madden, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes will share the Madden front. The cover front for Madden 2022 is the first time two players have been on the cover since 2010. Can you name one of them?
2010
is still playing, at least played last year.
Two players in 2010 were on the cover together?
Yeah.
One player All was right. still playing.
Let's see.
So Adrian Peterson?
Nope.
Really?
One player is still playing. Two players on the cover. Interesting.
Played last season.
Well, give me a position. Quarterback?
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
Not Julio, was it?
It's pretty obvious. He's an old wide receiver. He's probably the oldest.
Probably the oldest wide receiver.
Still in the league?
Yeah.
Old wide
receiver. Why am I drawing a blank?
He's a free agent right now, according to the internet.
Old wide receiver.
It's Larry Fitzgerald, guys.
Oh, Fitz, of course.
Who was he on the cover with?
Take a guess.
Another wide receiver?
No, it's a defensive player.
Oh, a defensive player in 2010? Mm-hmm.
Very good hair.
Troy Polamalu?
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
All right, that's kind of lame.
But I'm just telling you that's who it was.
Was it because of it was a Super Bowl matchup? Was that the matchup in 2009?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite Super Bowls, too. That had everything, that Super Bowl. 312-332-3776. More fun inside Waddle's World. And Chuck Garfine talks socks at 4.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Waddle's World
Surprise.
Continues.
Nope. This is Waddle's segment.
I'm sorry.
You eat your blueberries. This is Waddle's segment. It's Adam Abdallah. Not in for Tom Waddle, but I'm handling Waddle's World here on Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago.
I have not said anything to Twitch today. I've been so busy with different stuff. I've not checked in. Shout out to everyone on Twitch, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Or in the car radio on ESPN 1000. Make sure we're number one preset.
Do you guys feel it move?
I always do.
A 3.8 magnitude earthquake hit Indiana right around 2:18 during the earth-shaking interview with Jed Hoyer.
This was this afternoon, not 2:18 a.m.?
No, 2:18 like a couple hours ago.
Where was it? Where
in
was
Bloomingdale,
it?
Indiana, but was also felt by some Chicago area residents. So if you felt it move... You're not crazy. You're drinking early.
Have you guys ever been in an earthquake?
No.
No.
So when I was in Carbondale in 1990, there was a prediction of a massive earthquake. There's a fault line down there.
The big one?
Downstate. The big one, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, they were even canceling school classes. They were canceling classes around the region. But before that day came, maybe it was after, we had like a 4.3 down there. And it was, I mean, like, we were in bed, and they tell you to run to the doorway. You're supposed to stand in the doorway, because I guess it's more solid.
Yeah.
So the roof doesn't come down on you, but it was quite interesting. About 30 seconds, my only earthquake I've ever felt.
I've never been in one. I have no desire to be in one.
No, you shouldn't.
Illinois is now offering prizes up to $7 million in cash and $3 million in scholarships in lottery for residents who have received a COVID vaccine. So if you have your first dose or no doses at all, you can now enter a lottery, according to Governor J.B. Pritzker. It was announced today.
We talked to Jed Hoyer about this, and we will replay that interview or a portion of it at about 5:30, and you could hear the entire interview. His response on the vaccines is on there, too, with Rizzo, and if his relationship with Rizzo is still good, considering the contract negotiations and the vaccination situation. Go to the ESPN Chicago app for that interview.
The murder hornets are back.
Oh, no.
The first murder hornet has been found, a dead one, though. So maybe it's from last year. We don't know. But a dead murder hornet was found near Seattle, the first in the U.S. in 2021.
Okay.
Scientists have found a dead Asian giant hornet north of Seattle, the first so-called murder hornet discovered in the country this year, federal and state investigators said Wednesday.
Overrated.
Well, really? You think this is much to do about nothing?
Did it affect your life last year?
I think they're going to slowly move in and get more comfortable and then get to the Midwest, and then we're
what
in
if
trouble.
The Overrated. Cicadas mate with the murder hornets and we get murder cicadas.
Ooh.
It'll just be loud.
Now you're scaring me.
I'm worried.
By the way, Kevin Boehm, who I told Jed earlier that I'm going to Swift & Sons tonight, which is true. Can't wait. He finally got back to me. He's been in L.A. He's going to ask his chefs about preparing cicadas for us to eat live on the radio. And you could watch it on Twitch. So I'll ask him again tonight to see if he can make this happen.
I put him in like a taco.
Whatever.
Maybe like a fried rice.
Crunchy, yeah.
Maybe like barbecue cicadas. That's to be good.
Scampi.
Couple interrupted during outdoor sex, threw rocks at the complainants. The couple was upset after being interrupted after having sex on someone else's property, and then they threw rocks at the people that were complaining.
So not only did they have sex on the property, then they like fought back by throwing rocks on that person's property.
An assault investigation is underway after a couple caught in a compromising position threw rocks at the person who interrupted them. This is in Phoenix, courtesy of the Saskatoon.
It's hot, boy,
Star
this
Phoenix.
Time of year, where they're having sex outside.
Well, outside at night, yeah. I mean,
well,
don't
people now, I don't know, but Sylvie, you go to Phoenix quite a bit, right? Don't
weird.
People, the yards in Phoenix, don't people do the rocks instead of a lawn?
Rocks,
because it
AstroTurf,
is so,
yes.
So perhaps it was on the front lawn, and instead of them having the lawn, it's a bunch of rocks.
Right.
So they just picked up the rocks and chucked them.
But they've been having temperatures like at 115 degrees.
Hot rocks. During the day.
Some hot rocks.
Yeah, hot rocks, cool nights.
Hot rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, just get on those
rocks. Rocks off.
Two quick chicken stories. A brotherly argument over some chicken turned violent Monday evening when a Florida man allegedly threw a knife at his sibling, according to the cops, who said the airborne weapon got stuck in the victim's leg.
This would have been too obvious if this was Florida or Ohio.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's Thursday. I just tell you it's Florida. And then the second one, a Florida woman is facing domestic battery charges after allegedly pelting her boyfriend in the face and chest with a plate of chicken after the couple was eating and had an argument in their Bradenton home.
Some violent chicken incidents.
Jerk.
Some jerk chicken right there.
Jerk chicken.
It sounds like it. It's good. All right, is that it?
That is Waddle's World.
All right, Waddle's World every day at about 3:30.
That would be your nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
And guess what? Tonight, today, because we're off tomorrow in observance of the Juneteenth holiday, tonight, at the end of the show, right around 5:50, be listening for a chance to win the Screwball sign-off. Not $100, not $50, not $75, not $150. I know I'm jumping all over the place, but I'm going to get to $200 to Declan's Irish Pub in Old Town.
Declan's.
Be listening around 5:50 this evening for your chance to win.
That's a lot. That goes a long way, Declan. So be listening. Make sure you're with us. Chuck Garfine's going to join us next. I'll ask him about the White Sox. Obviously, Astros and Sox, big series. I also want to ask him, as a Chicago native, if he's cool with the Bears moving to Arlington Heights. That's up in 2 minutes.